Jared Olivetti was with us, and Jared gave a brief summary or message or homily of baptism, what it is, and I took good notes, and I asked Jared if I'm allowed to plagiarize from him, and he said, of course you may. So I need to give credit where credit is due. As we consider this morning baptism, the fruit of baptism, or the proof of baptism, I told my wife I was tempted to entitle the sermon, Are You Baptized? Prove It. And she said, Bruce, all they have to do is show you that certificate that says they were baptized. Obviously, you've enjoyed witnessing baptisms as you have families with children, and you children have witnessed either your siblings or others being baptized. And as a congregation, we witness baptism at that time. But I really wonder if we truly appreciate what our baptism means. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 94, what is baptism? Baptism is a sacrament wherein the washing with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost doth signify and seal our engrafting into Christ and partaking of the benefits of the cover of grace and our engagement to be the Lord's. And so you see there are three passages that I would read for us before we embark on a message, well, the fruit of baptism, or the proof of baptism, or let me help you be able to prove to me that you were baptized. So here now, first of all, Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, and I'll read the first 14 verses. It's found on page 1003 if you need a page number to find Romans and our passage. Romans chapter 6, hear the word of the Lord, verses 1 through 14. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And then we turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and that's found on page 1034. Galatians 3, and we'll be reading verses 26 through 29, found on the next page, 1035. Again, the word of our God. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. And then from Ephesians chapter 4 and the first 7 verses. Page 1039, Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 7. Again, the word of our God. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. There are four things, at least four things, that we learn about baptism. And I trust as we look at these four things that we learn about baptism, indeed we will be impressed with the fruit or the proof of baptism, so that truly we are able to prove that we have been baptized. The first thing that we understand about baptism is that baptism establishes those who are baptized as being in the covenant of grace. Baptism establishes those who are baptized as being in the covenant of grace. Do you remember the first query that you heard or you took as a parent when baptism occurred? What do we say? We say that our child is a possession of God. All of you children who have been baptized, God owns you. You belong to God. You belong to God. You're His. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in, if I'm in Birmingham, y'all. Y'all, who've been baptized, are in God. He owns you. It was Jesus who said to his disciples, as he was about to leave this earth, as you're going through life, that's how you would translate the participle at the beginning of Matthew 28:20. As you're going through life, or going, therefore, make disciples. And what does he say? Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Amen. And just as Jesus commissioned his disciples, and through them the church, when we share Christ, as we walk through this world Monday through Saturday, and someone comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're attentive to making disciples Monday through Saturday, what do? Come with me to worship. Come with me to the church. Why? Because if you've professed faith in Jesus Christ, you will be baptized. And I'm sure there are some of you here who were not baptized as infants, but you have been baptized. Because when you made that profession of faith, perhaps in a Baptist church, what happened? You were baptized. And that baptism, you see, is establishing you in the covenant of grace. You remember, as Paul was going through Ephesus, and what did Paul do? He found out that there were disciples there who didn't know of the Holy Spirit. They knew of God, they knew of Jesus, but the Holy Spirit. And what does he say? Into what then were you baptized? And you remember their answer? John's baptism. John's baptism is not Christian baptism. John's baptism is the cleansing that took place in the old administration of the covenant of grace. And so what does Paul do? He baptizes them into the name of Jesus. And what happens? The Holy Spirit comes upon them to say, you are my possession. And we're established in that covenant of grace, as we'll see later, through the work of the Holy Spirit. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. But why water baptism? Well, in the old administration of the covenant of grace, Yahweh is the name that those who were circumcised received And the new administration of the covenant of grace, we're not circumcised to say we are members of the covenant of grace, males only, but boys and girls, men and women, they are baptized. But you see, it was in the old administration of the covenant of grace, and in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 10, "This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised." Down to verse 12. "He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendants." When a male child was 8 days old or older under the old administration of the covenant of grace, he received that mark of entrance into the covenant of circumcision. He was marked as a child of God. He was not like the sons born in a foreign land. He was now possessed by Yahweh. He did not choose where he would be born. He did not choose who his parents would be. God chose him. God incorporates him into his family, and he receives that mark of circumcision. He's established as belonging to the Lord. And so, you children who were baptized, you're members of the church. Children are members of the church. And so, children, you should expect the discipline of the church as well as that of your parents. And so, when these covenant children, by the grace of God, come to make a public profession of faith, don't make the mistake of saying, "Well, now you're a member of the church because you may take the Lord's Supper." No. You take the Lord's Supper because as a member of the church, you have embraced the covenant that God established with you. And so we who are adults say what? You're communicant members. So you take the covenant of communicant membership when you come to the Lord's table. All right, baptism establishes those who are baptized into the covenant of grace. But you know what? Baptism actually expresses the covenant of grace. Not only establishes, but it expresses the covenant of grace. We're to pay attention. We're to watch what's taking place when someone is baptized. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 20 and 21 reads as follows: "And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Baptism tells us God is saying, each one of you who are baptized, each of you children, I'm your daddy. I'm your father. Remember, your parents said, you are a possession of God, parents that God has entrusted to our care. But it's God, you see. It's God who is active in this baptism. It's his expression, you're mine. Rejoice, children. Give thanks, children, that your parents had you baptized. And those of us who have grown to that place where we appreciate the fact that God has said, you're mine, because we've come to embrace him. You see, the one who is being baptized is passive. The one who's being baptized is passive. None of you children, when you were baptized, well, I shouldn't say none. I shouldn't say none. I had the privilege in my first pastorate of having a family where the wife was definitely a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Her children had not been baptized, and her husband was not a believer. And I asked her, I said, you know, you could be taking the Lord's Supper. She said, I'm not going to take the Lord's Supper. I'm not going to become a communicant member of the church until my husband becomes a Christian. I said, I think you're suffering because you're not a communicant member taking the Lord's Supper. It wasn't long after that her husband came to saving faith. I had the privilege of baptizing her husband and of baptizing her two children. And before I baptized her two children, they were old enough that I could say, would you like me to baptize you or not? Do you want to be incorporated in the covenant of grace? All right. There are children who have had the opportunity of saying yes. But most of you, I would guess, didn't say to your parents, will you please have me baptized? Because you see, you weren't really old enough to do that, were you? But you see, when we watch someone being baptized, the gospel's proclaimed, it's signified, it's expressed as the heart is sprinkled from an evil conscience and the body washed with pure water. Except we're born from above. Except we're born again. We will not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your baptism, you children, your baptism, and we who watched, is saying, your stony heart, because we're all born dead in trespasses and sin. We're all born, remember, you see, as little babies. We cried because we were hungry, right? We cried because our diaper was full. We also cried, I'm the boss in this house. I'm the boss. I want it now, Dad and Mom. You see, you with us were born in sin. But this sprinkling and this washing is indicating that God will reach into our hearts and he'll take those hearts of stone out and he'll implant a heart of flesh so that as you sit here week by week by week on the Lord's Day with your family and you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of God proclaimed, sooner or later, by God's grace, you see that word that you hear is going to make it into your heart. And it's all going to begin to make sense to you. And you're all going to begin to understand, I need to be washed by the blood of Jesus. And I understand that when I repent of my sins and I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because my baptism has taken effect in my life. And so the next thing we want to recognize is not only does baptism establish the one baptized in the covenant of grace, not only does baptism express the covenant of grace, baptism, therefore, effects God's grace to us. Listen again to Romans 6 and the first four verses. And listen, this is what baptism effects in those who are baptized. Listen. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? See, chapter 5 of Romans is talking about how Jesus comes and sets us free. Jesus comes and enables us to be forgiven. Jesus comes and says, whatever sins you commit except the blasphemy of the Spirit, you may be forgiven. You may be forgiven. And so what do we think? Oh, as long as I'm going to be forgiven, I might as well sin. That's grace. I've received grace. And so because I've received grace, then I need to sin so that I can understand more grace. Certainly not. Why certainly not? Listen. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? That's the effect of being baptized. We died to sin. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Jesus died. That's the effect of baptism. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. You see how dead we were? Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so you also should walk in newness of life. You see, we who died in Christ were buried in Christ. Guess what? We were resurrected in Christ so that we may walk in newness of life. That's what he says, isn't it? But if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. What happened when Jesus rose? He was back to life. Knowing this, and then again, not again, but for the first time, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. In him you were also circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised Jesus from the dead. Did you catch how baptism speaks of an outward washing and an inward washing? So that when we are baptized, it is a signification that the wicked deeds of the flesh are washed away, and the wicked deeds of the heart are washed away. But remember when we read what the Catechism says about baptism. The effect of what is signified is not necessarily happening at the moment of baptism. The efficacy of baptism is not tied to that moment of time. However, by the right use of this ordinance, baptism, the grace promised is not only offered, but really exhibited and conferred by the Holy Ghost. That seed is to be watered. When a person is baptized, it's as if a seed is planted. And that seed is to be watered, it's to be nurtured. Remember the promises covenant parents make, as well as the promises that we as a congregation make, that we will raise up this child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we will help raise up this child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But you see, it's faith. Faith. Faith that you children need to be given for you to have the effects of baptism be realized in your life. And we know it's by grace and not, it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. You children aren't to go running around looking for faith somewhere. But you children are to pay attention. And as you pay attention, you begin to believe what you're hearing from the Word of God, from your parents, from your friends in the congregation, is true. That Jesus did die for you. How is our baptism improved? Question 167, which we'll look at in just a moment. It's improved as the grace of God more and more and more reminds us that we're in Christ Jesus by grace through faith. Here's an example, perhaps, of how faith works. All right? Let's pretend that each one of you children has a banking account, and in that banking account you have $500. You know you have $500 because your parents gave you $500 and said, you know, you're wise, we're going to start an account in a bank for you. And then there's something that you really, really, really want. And it's something that your parents say you may have. But it costs $1,500. And you look at your bank account, and it says, I have $500. And then I come up to you, and I say, go ahead and write a check from your bank account for $1,500. But I don't have $1,500. Well, I just deposited $1,000 in your checking account. What are you going to do? If you're like my wife, you'll go look at the bank statement and say, oh, yeah, I guess he did. She doesn't have any faith until she sees it. She's from Missouri. No, she's really from India. Anyway. Missouri is show me, right? The show me state. But faith is that gift of God that what? That enables me to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior without seeing him, but knowing he is for real. And I write the check. $1,500. Boom. And it doesn't bounce. That's the effect. That's the effect of baptism. And I'm afraid, as many times as we see baptism, as many times as we think about baptism, we don't meditate on the effects of baptism. Because you see, because of the effects of baptism, baptism exhorts us. Baptism exhorts us. Christ calls us to a life of faith that is demonstrated, you know what I'm going to say, by our obedience. How many times do we sing the Psalms? Oh, how I love your law. It is my, I don't know, I forget it all the time. Oh, how I love your law. It is something I try to do every now and then. Oh, how I love your law. I think about it sometimes. I meditate on it day and night. 1967. I've been a Christian now for a little over a year, and I went to a summer training program. Now remember, well, you wouldn't remember, but let me tell you. I grew up in a Presbyterian church. I memorized the Shorter Catechism. At age 12 or 13, I could recite answers to the session from the Shorter Catechism, and I became a communicant member. I had no clue of what the gospel was. It was an assignment. Memorize, regurgitate, take the next step. Became a Christian as a sophomore at Geneva College. So here we are, a year and a half, the summer of 67. Sitting at a table in a summer training program, Ken Smith says, "We'll start with you and we'll go around the table. You say the first commandment, you say the second commandment, you say the third commandment, you say, and if you don't know it, just say pass.
Pass.
I didn't know the commandments." I heard a student under care preach a sermon, and in the sermon he said, "Our people don't know the commandments, it's terrible." Well, sadly, when he was then examined, "Would you please tell me the Ten Commandments?" He didn't know them. "Do you have other gods before you? Do you delight in worshiping the Lord the way he wants to be worshiped? How well do you speak about him when you have opportunities to speak about him? What do you think of today? What do you think of today? Can't wait to get out of here. I got something to do this afternoon. Can't wait to get out of here. I got to. There's a good game I want. There's a bargain to be bought. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt. Remember that? You were dead in your trespasses and sin. You've been saved from Egypt. So you don't have to work anymore. 6 days he's given you and everybody else. Don't work on today. It's set apart. I want to keep this in a way that reflects what I hope it will look like in heaven, and that's not playing a round of golf. That's not seeing if your favorite team wins. What do you think about people around you? Call them fools? Murder. Guys, how are you with your computer? What kinds of pictures do you look at on the computer? Gals, same for you. I've learned it's equal opportunity. I never thought it would be, but apparently it is. Summertime, guys, it's pretty hard, isn't it? Girls running around with something on them. It's hard. Finders keepers, losers weepers. Where did I find it? Did I steal it? How do I talk about other people? And that takes us right back to the beginning, doesn't it? I want, I want, I want, I want, I must. I must, I must. It's gotta be, it's gotta be. I need it, I need it. No, I want it. And we set up idols upon idols upon idols upon idols because we covet, we covet, we covet, we covet. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation. All the day long. Jesus, in commissioning the church, after they were baptized, what did they do? They taught them everything Jesus taught. Covenant children have the privilege of being claimed to be God's, having your baptism declare the covenant of grace, hearing now the effects of baptism. You've been taught the things of Jesus in your house, in the church. And so Jesus says to you, covenant children, as you lovingly obey dad and mom, as you lovingly do what you're told, as you lovingly keep the commandments, you're showing that you're hearing the exhortation of what baptism is to you. Learn the things of Jesus and do them. Jesus is the one who said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he and she, they love me. Do you love Jesus? Do you love him? You see, baptism exhorts us to love Jesus with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Question 167 of the larger catechism, how do we improve our baptism? We improve our baptism by endeavoring to live by faith, to have our conversation in holiness and righteousness, as those that have therein given up their names to Christ, and to walk in brotherly love, as being baptized by the same Spirit into one body. Listen to what Paul writes, this time again to the Colossians. General Electric Phone Company, Colossians. Yes, there it is. It's easier to remember General Electric Phone Company than Galatians. Philippians, Colossians, chapter 1 and verses 9 and following. Listen to what Paul writes under the inspiration of the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, often, and I'll probably use it as the benediction today, the Aaronic benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance on you and give you peace. The very next verse in Numbers chapter 6. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless you. Children, you who have been baptized, the Lord has put his name on you. Our baptism names us and claims us for God. Our baptism proclaims we belong to God. Our baptism unites us through Jesus when faith is present. Our baptism constantly calls us to our heavenly identity, our heavenly hope, a heavenly life here on earth. When I was church planting in Colorado Springs, the elder who was there to be called an elder when we organized an IA teaching elder told me how he answered his baptized children when they asked him what should they do. He asked them this: do you want to know what your heavenly Father would have you to do? Or what it would be better for you to do? Yeah, I see the frowns. The world constantly offers you children and we adults what is better. It's better if you have this. It's better if you deny that. It's better if you eat this forbidden fruit, because then you can be God. Or do you want to hear what God your Father would have you to do? Because you see, when we listen to what God our Father would have us to do, we're going to stand out in this world as a bunch of peculiar people. So peculiar that by God's grace, people will begin to come and say, why are you so heavenly minded? Why are you so full of the things of heaven? Don't you know when you're heavenly minded, you're no earthly good? Isn't that what you've heard people say? Oh, you're so heavenly minded, you're no good on this earth. But we're the pillar and the ground of truth, because we know him who is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and we love one another as we've been loved. And we love our enemies. And we love those who persecute us. And the world just is, I don't get it. Because we are living antithetically to the way the world lives. Because we're baptized in Jesus Christ. And because we're baptized in him, we reflect him as we die to sin and live in Christ and become more and more and more conformed to his image. And join me in the meditation on what we read in the Bible about sinners being attracted to Jesus. Sinners being attracted to Jesus. Sinners being attracted to Jesus. I've been meditating on that for years. And I've been asking myself, are sinners attracted to Bruce Bacenstowe? And if not, why not? Well, our baptism establishes us, right? It expresses. It effects and it exhorts. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Children, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you do, talk about it to the elders as you talk about it to your parents. So that you can not only enjoy the grace that's there in your baptism, but you can enjoy the grace that's there when you come to the Lord's Supper. And we who are adults, maybe prove that we're baptized by the way we live. Let's pray. Father in heaven, take these words of yours, write them on our hearts, and help us, our Father, to live out of the abundance of our hearts wherein Christ dwells through the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you reside in us to bring to our remembrance the things of Christ, that you would convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment, that you would ever remind us that when we sin, if we confess our sin, oh, how faithful and righteous you are to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in that cleansing, we know how to turn away. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen.